You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. It's Wednesday, hump day, got to get over the hump. And hope that you get a chance to do all the things that you need to do, should do, must do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you will do it. That's right. No procrastination. Don't put it off, even though sometimes the challenge and the task is hard. But you do it. You meet those challenges. That's right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, the drop-down. You'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You can also use the shortcut, the search, babaoshi.net, whatever search engine you might want to use, whatever it is. Put in Baba, D-A-B-A, Oshi, O-S-H-I.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. And tomorrow, Thursday, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, with your host, Brother Patrick Lumumba. Patrick Lumumba on Thursdays from 7 to 8, Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday from 8 until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Time for an Awakening. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. The Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9, Dr. Janine. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything. And I do mean everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba, he's back. And I'm going to give him a call so we can talk about this past trip to Liberia and to Morocco. And then set up and talk about the other trips that are upcoming. Because I'm quite sure there are other ones on here. And also, too, once again, there's a date change that he has to deal with on the schedule. But here are the other trips upcoming. Ghana, July 11th through the 23rd. Kemet, November 21st to December 2nd. Azinia, December 21st to January 4th, 2025. Senegal and Gambia, April 3rd to April 13th, 2025. Liberia and Morocco,
Once again, there's the scheduling change right there for April 4th through the 15th. And then Ghana, once again, May 24th to June 5th. And then Brazil, 21st of November to December 1st, 2025. Africa for the Africans. And brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, please go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And believe me, he wants you to come on one of those trips of a lifetime with him. Believe me, they're great. Habeshaw Incorporated. Habeshaw, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Brothers and sisters, Habeshaw, the programs that they have, the Habeshaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. Habeshaw, and of course, the Kashi Project, which was introduced a couple years ago, October of 2022, in Ghana. You got to check out HabeshawIncorporated.org. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE Group deals in the four areas of human essentials. What are the essentials for humans? Food, water, clothing, and shelter. He has 12 projects in 6 different countries in on the continent. Over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. TheLEDGEGroup.com. The Minister of Wellness, he's still in Kenya. He'll be there for a while. Can't wait to get back. But you can go to his website, TheMinisterOfWellness.com, and he's offering a free ebook on health, biblical health. Check it out. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Can't wait till he gets back so we can have a conversation with the Minister of Wellness. Smile Pharmacy, that's Brother Jabril. And he has so many more products. Man, he's into mass production, I'm telling you. Brother's got it going on, I tell you. I like Brother Jabril. And, of course, you can contact Brother Jabril by phone, 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Or by email, smifarmacy@gmail.com. smifarmacy@gmail.com. I'll say it again. smifarmacy@gmail.com. It's my pharmacy. Ah, yes. Okay. The Moses West Foundation. The Moses West. That wasn't. That was a slick move, Brother Oshie. Yeah, I tell you. Sometimes. Okay. The Moses West Foundation. Once again, when you go to his webpage, it's a donation. He's asking for donations because access to water is fundamental to life and prosperity. Serving as a cornerstone for public health, economic development, and sustainability of our global ecosystems. That's Brother Moses West. You can donate $50, $10, $25, $100, $250, whatever the amount, you know. And you can be ongoing, whatever. I like to help cover the transaction fees of $2.40 for my donation. Make this donation monthly. You know, I'm telling you. We develop and implement atmospheric water generator. The AWG, the Atmospheric Water Generator. Technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. That's what's important, family. Yeah. 9 missions, 4 countries, 6 million gallons produced for charity. For charity. There's a smart way to end the water crisis. We collaborate closely with municipal and community leaders to identify areas within their communities that lack access to clean water. Through this collaboration effort, we gain a deep understanding of local needs and formulates a targeted mission aimed at fundraising for the installation of permanent water units in those communities. Our approach takes on the creation of comprehensive safe water solutions, incorporating both the necessary tools and educational programs to ensure that every member of the community benefits from sustainable access to clean water. Telling you, family, water is the lifeblood of humanity. Without water, you can live days without food. Maybe 3 days without water. Man, if that, telling you, water is truly the elixir of life. To MosesWestFoundation.org, brothers and sisters, support the MosesWestFoundation.org. Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End, on Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian, and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, with delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and all kind of good stuff, dry goods, vegan food on Saturday and Sunday. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. If you want to give them a call them at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. That's right, Mama Nia, the Medu Bookstore. Give her a call. If you're looking for a book, and she may have it, but if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. Okay, give her a call at 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of here, east of Atlanta. Jump in your ride. Jump on I-20, headed east towards Augusta. Take exit 74. Take exit 74. Once you get to exit, then you make a left. Now you're going north. And about a little over a mile on the left will be Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Give my good brother Gazimdi Ajamu a hello. He has a fine selection of good stuff there. Books, postcards, good books, t-shirts, you know. I mean, he's got it going on. And the Coffee Bar, of course, he's serving delicious Cameroon boyo and teas and all kind of good stuff. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, headed back the other way. Now you're going south. And then you go back to I-20, make a left. That's your headed east again. But the next exit, take the next exit, which is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right. Three lights, make another light, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market, the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow night, their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. If you want to give them a call to listen or comment or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abija, right off of I-75. In Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. Give Brother BJ a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give my good sister, Shelly Amonsette, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sonjay-IET. Sonjay, Sonjay-AYITI.org. Sonjay-IET.org. You got to check it out. My good sister, excuse me, Gabby, is doing great work in the island of Haiti, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, getting close to the Dominican border up in that area. Okay? Got to check her out. Ackerman Institute, Baba Baruti, and Mama Ya, Ackerman Institute. Yeah. You can use PayPal. They definitely will receive the donations and the contributions that you give. And they're well received and well deserved. Believe me, they do great work. PayPal, Yaa Baruti, Baruti, yaabaruti@.com. And then for Cash App, $ Yaa, the letter M, then Baruti, Baruti. Make your donations. If you want to check out the books, go to Ackerman House. As you know, the brother's a prolific writer. AckermanHouse.org. No, excuse me, family. .com. AckermanHouse.com. All right. Yeah. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 9th. A serial killer or child molester or drug addict don't exactly stop being what they are between crimes. They just ain't doing their thing at a particular moment. Clearly, to understand or treat such serious problems, our focus must be enlarged far beyond moments of dramatic explosion to identify patterns, anticipate eruptions, seek root causes, and means of prevention. Yet we address Caucasian prejudice, bigotry, and violence directed at us as a series of unfortunate incidents, deviancy from an enlightened norm. John Edgar Wideman. Whatever Urugu does, it is feeding something inside, whatever consciously or not, it is designed to fulfill the imperatives which move everyone toward them and their way. And for warriors, whether this is a conscious or not, whether they mean it or not, is irrelevant. What is important is that it is negatively affecting us. It may be murder, child stealing, diseducation, cultural banditry, financing misorganizations and misleaders within our community, revolutionary and otherwise, or any other thing in the collection of acts against others. It is done to serve their asili, their cultural imperatives, regardless of how benevolent, beneficial, or altruistic their giving may appear. It serves their ends. Nothing is accidental in this reality. Our destruction has vision. Urugu would have us believe that their ongoing inhumanity is a natural and necessary process in an evolving humanity. But we know that Urugu engineers chaos. We know that they have created reality out of what they are. Affirm, I do not get caught up in momentary words or actions. I study historical patterns. Ashe. Affirm, I do not get caught up in momentary words or actions. I study historical patterns. April 10th. Rotten scum has found its way to power. Time to protect, projects, check the hour. I'm fed worse than just angry. Ready for action, baby. Not getting lazy. Not going crazy. Because I'm about to make something happen. Ronnie Jordan. What makes us think we can breathe the same air? Has a disease and not become infected? What makes us think that the past would forget us? What makes us think that the children who are known for their genius would not recognize punks pretending to be adults? What makes us think that we can escape this madness without removing it? What makes us think that complementarity is optional for warriors? What makes us think that the red, black, and the green is a decoration? What makes us think that sovereignty is an endless debate rather than a conscious, concerted action? What makes us think that the enslavement of Africans ever ended, or if it had, that we could not easily be re-enslaved? Wow. What makes us think Rirugu could ever change its nature? What makes us think that they could not violate our children again? What makes us think that we have time to play? What makes us think we have time to play? What makes us think we have time to play? Affirm, I'm gonna make something happen. Affirm, I'm gonna make something happen. Ashe. The Inya Sesem, a daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, family, I'm gonna make something happen. You know, the reason for this radio program is just what we say all the time. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And so therefore we recognize the seriousness of this program, and I know we had some good times and some merriment, laughter, and so forth, but considering our situation, everything about what's happening to African people must be taken seriously. And it's like, it's like the Inya used to say, what makes us think we have a time to play? We don't have time to play. And everything that we do should be working towards getting our minds right to get us up and out of here. Yeah, to get us out of here. We can't reform this, family. We can't appeal to Urugu and think that they're going to change. They're going to accept our appeal and act accordingly. We would be naive. We would be foolish to think that, given the history. So, for those who want to stay, you stay. But for those who understand what we're about, of putting Africa and Africans back in a position to lead, that's a different story, family. It's a different story. I see that vision. And what I do here somehow, I believe, helps others see that vision as well. At least I try. I sincerely try. We're going to talk about re-Africanization today. Friday, Ayo Kamafi, the irritated genie, will be on with me. We already know Jews are the problem. And y'all see that. Because what you're seeing right now, family, is genocide in real time. Genocide. And they are adamant in terms of doing it. They don't want to hear nothing else. They don't want to hear about what the United States or Europe is talking about. Those are the two main benefactors. Those are the two entities that brought that whole situation into existence. And of course, who are they? Who are these Europeans? Who are these Caucasians? What is their history? Why don't they want DNA tests done? Because they're not Thai. They are not the Hebrews. They are not Jews. They are from the synagogue of Satan. That's what it says in the Bible. Now, you know, I'm not, you know, a Bible thumper. You know, because I look at the Bible as a book that has been corrupted, has been manipulated, undermined. I look at the Bible as something that, you know, Europeans have used. Now, of course, there's the Ethiopian Bible and other Bibles. You know, whatever can liberate the hearts and minds of our people, I'm down with. I unfortunately don't believe that is a method. I believe in something more concrete, not something that deals with mysticism, but although I'm a spiritual person and I know that we as African people are spiritual people, so I understand that. But if you could pray right now and hopefully that your God answers prayer, I hope that you would pray to get up out of here. I hope that you could pray to go back to the motherland. And the motherland is right because the people there are welcoming. And the people going there are going to be happy to be there. Not with an attitude that we're better because we come from outside of here. Or smarter. Or because most of us got skin that's lighter. I hope that's not the case. We have so much work to do. And the question becomes, can this work be done? It must be done. It must be done. Either it gets done or we cease to exist. I'm just saying it real. Either this work gets done, the liberation of African people, the sovereignty for African people gets done, or we will cease to exist. Now, I've played on this program many times, Caucasians talking about eliminating. In this day, this is not something from the 1800s, the 1700s, okay? This is something right now. It's not something from the 1900s. This is something right now that they're talking about. Talking about doing. Well, the population. No, there's not a, brothers and sisters, there's not a problem with population. There's not a problem even if there's a mass of us who go to Africa. That's not a problem. The cracker wants to say that it's a problem. He wants to eliminate of the 8 billion people on the planet. He wants to eliminate at least 3 to 4 billion people, and they start with us. The pecking order for elimination of people is us, the Indians, then the Asians. Oh, they ain't eliminating no crackers. They ain't eliminating no Australians. They eliminating no Europeans. They ain't eliminating no none of that. People who they feel are expendable. That's why family is vitally important, that we deal with this. Vitally important. So I'm very happy and anxious to talk with my brother again, Brother Ayo Kamafi, the Irritated Genie, this Friday's program. And of course, if you don't have it, get his book, The Jews Are the Problem. His book, along with the two volumes of that came out of the Nation of Islam, the work of Brother Tony Martin. I mean, there's a number of us, brothers and sisters, who are not afraid. And believe me, there's reason to be afraid, because these people have killed people. You know? I believe they killed Tony Martin. You know? Those who speak up. So, you know, I then pray for Brother Kamathi, Irritated Genie, and those who should protect this brother, who has the courage to say what it is. I'm going to be reading from Baba Baruti's book again, Identity, and this time I'm talking about re-Africanization. That's what we need to understand. We must re-Africanize ourselves. Yeah, re-Africanization. I want them to awaken the African in me. I want to awaken the African in me, you know? And then I pray that it happens for us, family. That it happens globally to Africans everywhere, throughout the diaspora and on the continent, awaken to the re-Africanization of us as a people. We must wake up. Re-Africanization, from Baba Baruti's book, Identity. Africans in search of true re-Africanization do not seek a partial or a compromised return to our way. We seek a full, unqualified return to the nurturing spirit of consciousness, genius, and humanity of our ancestors. I say. This is the path we choose to follow, no matter how difficult or impossible it may seem to those whose vision has been limited by a conditioned inability to recognize that nothing is impossible for the African genius. Some lost to the suffocating, identity-less oblivion of vanquishment hold their hands over their ears and scream to the heavens that we are gasping at impossibilities. But we know that the vision of a victorious people is never small. We know that there are no limits to the African genius. We know the stars. Again, as the prefix re implies, re-Africanization is a return home in thought, word, and deed. It is the re-becoming of what we already are, but which we have lost sight of due to circumstances. You know, there's all these circumstances, you know, beyond our control and often our memory. Through the process of re-Africanization, we rise above those hateful forces set in motion, which compels us to voluntarily deny ourselves. Re-Africanization is the recovery, redefinition, and revitalization of the African reality and the way of being, our way. Therefore, re-Africanization is a healing process because through it, we return home. Re-Africanization is the process by which we Africans deliberately restore our consciousness. It involves the unrelenting struggle to embrace an uncontaminated Sankofian return to our cultural roots. It is a righteous, beautiful struggle which only comes about as the result of a serious lifelong submission into the study of our ancestral way and our evolving practical applied rebirth within. Furthermore, re-Africanization is the process whereby our thinking is elevated to the height of self-knowledge, where a true state of Pan-African nationalist socialism can come into existence of its own volition. Through it, we understand our nature and why our unique human civilized way as a people originally developed and unfolded as it did, notwithstanding its symbiotic relationship with nation building. Re-Africanization should be considered as more of a thinking and meditative aspect of our return home. So while thought and words which give it life necessarily implies action in the African worldview, the greater balance in re-Africanization favors study and contemplation. Still, through this, partiality is not at the expense of actually creating the instruments and mechanisms out of which a sovereign nation is built. Again, of course, without a philosophical foundation and matching working vocabulary, nothing of lasting quality will stand long in the face of conceptually sound invasive enemies. No less important or cerebral through nation buildings is more of the actual implementation and realization of that thought. Still, as some might rightfully say, there are inseparable concepts. Both involve thought and action, in that to know for true Africans is to act. Re-Africanization then occurs within the framework of Sankofa. Our Sankofian return occurs when remembrance is facilitated through looking back to our traditions only and all that entails in order to define ourselves and our actions in here and now. Without this, we remain unable to gather within that particular spectacular effort needed to create out of the mores of chaos a reality and a future more fitting to who we are as a people. It is in the actualization of our return to our center of gravity, our cultural and spiritual mother, our beating heart. For in no other way can we become who we are except through spiritually and mentally becoming our ancestors. Since part of the re-Africanization process is reclaiming our native tongue, we should also reintroduce the Akan term, family. I keep pronouncing it different ways. It means purification. And it is a most appropriate descriptive for the process of re-Africanization. For re-Africanization is the full cleansing of the soul, mind, and body. It is a conscious effort to remove what does not belong and bring back what was wrongly displaced. Within the re-Africanizing process, balance is restored through the burning away of useless, retarding European cultural dominance to expose the timeless gold, the African spirit and culture. Re-Africanization is the method whereby we submerge ourselves into and submit our consciousness to the will and the way of those who initiated and live our personal and geocultural lineage. It is a psychological return to the source of spiritual and physical truth of who we are. It is again to become African. Moreover, re-Africanization occurs when we take what we are learning through this submersion and submission into triple blackness and begin to apply it to ourselves in an effort to change ourselves from that which we have been forced to imitate and exaggerate into our true selves, our ancestors. It is a process fraught with difficulty and hardship, because our menticide is extensively rooted in Eurasian. And Eurasian being a highly effective extension and defense mechanism of Urugu, logically binds everything we have menticidally come to believe with a reality which moves in opposition to our spirit, and which through alien and anti-African have come to be accepted as logical, rational, and desirable. The anti-African crusade coming from without and within assaults us from every possible angle and in virtually every thought, to the point where it is oftentimes overwhelming. But once we know we are African, once we know we are not European, nothing Eurasian brings us can stop us from being who we are. Ultimately, re-Africanization is how we rise into our African selves. Through it, we become the conscious collective process of changing our personal, familiar, and communal environments to match our growing awareness of how an African world would and should feed for us in overcoming this harsh, despiritualized time and place. As we think as Africans we are, we become the Africans we have always been. Re-Africanization is a personal transformation. It is a return to self. We actually become our ancestors. With time and evaluation of significant numbers of Africans into consciousness, it becomes a communal and then a global, national transformation. I say. Re-Africanization, family. It is something that we must go through. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a number of you in the queue, and of course you know what to do. Hit star twice and we'll get you into the conversation on this Wednesday. Yeah. On this Wednesday. Brother Lusk, good morning still. How you doing, my friend? Brother Ted? Okay. Yes. Brother Irv, good afternoon. Oh, good morning. No, good morning to you, that's for sure.
Thank you for taking my call once again. I was waiting to hear that Brother Lusk also. I thought he was going to come on, but he did. But I'm looking forward to hearing A.O. Kamani come on Friday.
On Friday, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too. In light of all the stuff that's happening, definitely, you know.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. He's prophesizing in a way. So I'm not going to say things like he's such controversial. I truly believe he's telling us the truth, and I say that only because he goes into history, and when you go into history to qualify what you're saying, Baba Oshi, you don't just start at Israel has the right to exist,
right?
And then you don't start. If you start there, then well, hell, they do. They said they do.
Yeah.
But how did Israel come to be?
Right.
Who got together and said, Israel is going to stop and put their anchor down here? Who said that the United Nations has a right to remove people from where they are and put another people there? They can actually do that anywhere, can't they?
Yeah.
And
if they say so,
They said it, they do it, it is. And who gives you the right to do that?
Yeah.
Who gives you the right to come into another country and tell them that because you guys are worshiping a tree, then we're going to cut this tree down, and now you have to worship this God that I give you.
Right.
So we're going to get rid of the trees, so that way you never ever can have any history or any remembrance of what you used to do. And you have to take on our customs, you know, because, you know, we have, and where I come from, we have dogs as pets. Well, you know, the sister said, where I come from, animals are predators. You know, similar to the Urugu, a predator. So my point is you want, you're imposing your culture on another people, and you're making me believe that I never had a culture to begin with. Mm-hmm. You don't have any religion. The white people came to Africa and told Africans, you don't have any clothes on. The Africans were walking around with no tops on, and you people have to put on clothes because we're here now, and you can't just walk around with no clothes on. So they put clothes on. Now they're coming to tell them, you got to take the clothes off. Now they're walking around, white folks walking around with their butt hanging out and their breasts hanging out. You know, the African covered themselves up for the European. And then they said, you have to learn English. You have to learn in our schools. We're going to bring our schools over to teach your children mm-hmm. how to be what? How to be what? How to be like us. And then and here in this country, we're so brainwashed. So when a baby is born, and you've heard this, Baba Oshie, and I know you can qualify this, does he have good hair? What is good hair, Baba Oshie? You're laughing because we do that as a people.
Still today.
That comes from our brainwashing.
Yeah.
That baby got good hair. Well, what's bad hair? Mm-hmm. Anything that looks like Erugu, anything that looks like the Caucasian is good, and anything that doesn't look like the Caucasian is bad. So no, Baba Oshie, we our women. I mean, and I don't mean to jump on the hair piece because it's always going to be the medical issue, the alopecia type. I understand all that, but even in other things, the light skin, dark skin piece. You know, back when light skin was in, I'll be sure Terrence Howell with all them cats, and then came Bobby Brown. You know, but they're all Africans, but they don't say the word African because the people who pay their salary don't want to hear that.
Right.
They don't want to hear your connection to your mother, to the motherland, because your motherland is right here. We don't live in Africa. Africa don't live in you because, you know, they cut it out when they cut your foot off, Toby. So now your name's Toby, not cool. So we're cutting out that Africa. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, Baba Oshie, Africa doesn't need aid. Why would you come over and give me a loaf of bread? Why didn't the Rugal come over and teach them how to make their own bread? Because Africans were eating before Rugal got there, I believe. I believe Africans were eating before they got there. I think they had food, and if nothing else.
Yeah.
Come on now. I think they had places to stay before the white man came. But having the nature that Africans have, that the white man was able to come over and corrupt. And of course, we have corrupt leaders like anybody else. We have leaders that want all for themselves. You have to learn that from white people. But you know that's not your culture. Your culture is a communal lifestyle. It's one Africa. But when you divide a people, when you divide a country and put borders up, you know, how they came and put the flag down and this belongs to the queen. Well, you know, animals do that too. They just come and urinate on the ground and that belongs to them. You know, so that's what Erugu did. He came and peed all over everywhere.
Right.
So now everything smells like piss because that's what Erugu is, nasty. I say that with inflection because I really mean it. I mean, and I never said hate. I said I dislike Erugu. Mm-hmm. That means in my mind, I don't like them, what they stand for, what they're trying to push on your. And in Africa, why are there so many coups? Because they're not coups. They're revolutions. People are tired of being told what to do by someone who does not have their interest in, does not have their interest in mind, in heart.
Yeah.
And then it's over. See, and Erugu's posturing different now. You notice that Erugu's doing some things that, why are you so extreme? Why is all of a sudden Donald Trump came to come out? Why is that? Because they're posturing different. Because they see this whole colonized mind eroding and going away. The internet was the game changer. We don't see dead bodies on TV, but we know there are dead bodies in Gaza. We know there are dead bodies in the Congo. Why do I know about the Congo? I don't see that on the evening news. They don't put that on the evening news. Why do I know about it? Because of the internet.
Yeah.
Internet is the game changer. I watch the news I want to watch. I see, just like these Trump patriots, They see what they want to see. Mm-hmm. They watch Fox all day long.
Yeah.
Then they watch MSN, CNN for a laugh. I'm the same way. I watch what I want to watch. I don't want to see. I don't need to see Gaza. I don't need to. I know what's going on over there so far as what I need to know. I don't need to see that. I need to see what's going on in Africa. What's happening in Senegal with a new president? Yeah. What's happening in Chad? What's happening in Guinea?
In Niger. What's happening in Niger. Yeah.
That's what I know, so, brother.
So, I mean, there's some great things that are happening.
Yes.
You know, and I hope that what does happen because of it, there's a galvanizing effect of other countries and leaders. And I mean, I'm putting emphasis on leaders, you know, that they want to come together to, you know, to do this. I heard that somebody's even has a currency, you know, that is being developed. And I know that that's what Muammar Gaddafi wanted to do, develop a nationwide, continent-wide currency, a continent-wide government, all of those things that are necessary, you know, for development of one Africa, you know, and of course.
And that's happened.
Yeah. Right. They don't want to happen.
That's Baba Oshie. That's in Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. They're taking off Irugu's clothing and putting it back on.
Right.
Because
on.
Something just as simple as your name, my brother. Something is, and that seems so simplistic, but it has so much impact on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And what you think by what you're called. Because it's not what you're called, it's what you're answered to.
That's right.
You know, I watched the thing about Bob Marley the other day, his documentary, two of them. Mm-hmm. One is a documentary and one is the fluff that was produced by the white folks who did that one. But anyway, one is a documentary and Bob Marley's name was Robert. His name was Bob. Because his father was an Irugu, and his mother was 16 when she had him.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who had him was married with a wife and children, and he was running around having sex with children. He was a pedophile.
Mm.
But the one that the white folks, the one that Johnny Depp, I think it was Johnny Depp who produced it, they didn't even talk about how old she was when she had him
mm-hmm.
by this white man, because they don't want to talk about the pedophiles that they do. Just like Thomas Jefferson has never talked of, oh, that's what they did back then. They did what? They raped white, black women? Is that what they did?
No, children.
So no.
No, they raped children.
See the children, and they're still doing it to this day.
Of course.
But when you say something about a priest, oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. They never did. They never what? It's been proven, and they've admitted it to.
Yeah.
Admitted to it. So stop. You don't want to see what's right in front of you because you don't get any benefit from it. In other words, if you go along to get along, you will get things.
Mm-hmm.
And Baba Oshie, when you leave this earth, how much of your money are you taking with you? How many of your clothes you taking with you? Who are you taking with you? Nobody. You came here by yourself and you leaving by yourself.
That's right.
And you're following these leading blacks because they're not black leaders.
Right,
they're leading blacks. You know, oh, Martin Luther King, this Martin Luther King, that. Did you vote for Martin Luther King? Did you vote for him? Okay. But you did vote for Biden, and you did vote for Obama. And what did you get? Is it a holiday for Obama or Biden? What did you get? I'm being sarcastic, but what I'm trying to say, Baba Oshie, is that we have awakened. The African people have awakened. It is awakened in me. And now it's up to me to spread this good news. Because the good news is that there's one Africa.
That's right.
The good news is that we understand our self-determination. The good news is that we understand our mission of revolution. The good news is don't have no children unless you're going to have revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. I'm telling you, it gets me. And you see how, as you speak of your self-determination, your emotions build up into a climax because we already won. Mm-hmm. The white folks are holding on by a thread. And now they're going to show themselves to be what they are, a violent, militaristic people.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've always shown that. They just have, they're just so two-faced, you know. They're so contradictory, always showing that. Let me catch Brother Lusk.
Let someone else get on the Bible. Oh, all right. You know, I can talk forever.
All right, brother.
I start preaching, sound like a Baptist preacher. Can I get a chicken dinner? Can we do something religious, Bible? Oh, she can take up a collection real quick for the speaker. Amen?
Amen. All right, brother.
Brother
Ted, good afternoon.
Hey, Bubba Oshie, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, brother.
Okay, man, I was talking earlier and didn't realize I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Jump off and jump back on, but thank you for that piece that you read from Bubba Baruti's book, Reafricanization.
Yes.
In that, I've always wanted to try to understand where we are as people in the 21st century, right? And so, if in this process of re-Africanization, what are the standards by which we need to operate by in order for this reinventing, this rediscovery, this restory of what we once had, we get back again? And so, and of course, it's embedded within the dialogue of what you've read. And so it's imperative that at least maybe one or two points from that reading be taken. I think about Edward Blyton, who's the father of Pan-Africanism. And so I think about from time to time his work and how he had to have this discovery of sorts to re-Africanize himself and others as well. So I just I really can't follow with Brother Irv and the emphasis in which he's placed on this process of re-Africanization and how imperative and important for us in our discovery and rediscovery of ourselves.
I think that it is vitally important that we understand where we are. You know, you got to understand the environment that you're in. It's antithetic to being African. And so to re-Africanize is going to be a challenge. But it's something that we have to instill in ourselves on a constant basis. So we don't have these ebbs and flows, but we have a constant ascension to becoming African. We continue to build to that moment of to being re-Africanized. And then now there ain't a damn thing anybody can say or do, and you're ready. You ready to go home to Africa, or you ready to be here, even though this environment is not conducive to it, but you, because of how you fortified yourself, you know, and you can let all that other shit just bounce off of you, and because you become the model, you've re-Africanized. You don't think in terms of the United States and its governmental process. You don't think in terms of the United States or Western society and its monetary process and so forth. You think African and you support African. So even if you're here and you made connections to brothers and sisters there, you have visited and so forth, you support that, you know, and maybe even here you have classes in the community, at the centers, you know, you get men and women together to become complements and to share knowledge and information. This is a thing of coming into being. That's what it is, the re-Africanized, coming into being. Because, brother, you know, like I said, if we don't do this, we are doomed. If we don't re-Africanize, if we don't, you know, challenge each other to be the best of who we are and who we can be as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Now, many times we look at and we talk about ancestors. For some of us, that means our enslavement, because many of us can't think of ourselves beyond being taken from Africa. And we can't think of ourselves being African and what were we doing prior to us being taken. See, and so then being taken and then being subjugated and humiliated and denigrated all those many years. We're talking about from 1619 to 1865 and beyond to this day. So just don't end it at 1865, you know, because that whole process continued to happen. Continued to happen with, what you call the process where see that Brother Lust, man.
Take your time.
Yeah, it slips my mind. But, you know, when you were still confined, when you still had to go through a process, you could be put in jail, you know. You could be put into work camps, you know. And so these kinds of things continue to happen. The lynchings that we went through after our captivity, you know, the vamping on our communities that began to develop and grow, you know.
Uh-huh.
So all of these things have challenged us, you know. And so my contention is we recognize these things, and we also now recognize because of them, it is liberation, self-determination, sovereignty is the only way. It is the only solution. There is no other solution. There is no other. And even though we want to be, because a lot of us, brothers, just being real, we want to be able to change the minds of Urugu. We want them to be more humane. We want them to be fair. We want them to be honest. We want them to be giving. We want them to be sharing. It's not going, it hasn't happened, it ain't happening, and it ain't going to happen. But we have to come to that reality.
That's right.
And for those who come to that reality, those brothers and sisters, you know, they're able to deal. They can look at the history. They're not afraid. They're not afraid, you know. But for many of us who still don't know, still don't have the idea, we are tripping. We are in a fantasy. We believe.
Well, Baba, thank you for picking my call and allowing me to share. I will continue to listen as always and learn.
We all are.
Yeah,
we appreciate you, man.
Definitely.
All right, Brother Lust, peace. Yep. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we have more to discuss. Hope you can stay with us. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to, I didn't do that right. Okay. That's what I did right. All right, brothers and sisters. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. That's, Brother Bobby Lyle from his Ivory Flow album. Hello, Maceo. I'm thinking about James Brown's Maceo. Yeah. Featuring Marcus Miller, Gerald Albright, Kurt Waldheim, and Najee on the tune. Hello, Maceo. Bobby Lyle, I like the tune. We're going to go back to the phone lines and take your calls, you know. And so, Brother Irv, good afternoon. Or good morning.
Yes, Brother Oshie.
Yes.
Brother Oshie, can you hear me?
Gotcha, go ahead.
Bro, that one right there you played, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was good. That was I'm a jazz. I love jazz music.
Do you?
Period.
Oh, me so, too.
And yeah,
I
anything,
do too.
Anything that's jazz, I'm gonna listen to it, and I'm gonna research it. But that was right on time right there. Gerald Albright, man, you do some. We're gonna do some more of Gerald Albright. I'm just saying that was beautiful, man. I was grooving to that. I like that. It takes music for me takes me out of the. Out of the situation I'm in temporarily. Not that I'm in a physical situation. It's more mental.
Right.
Brother
right.
Oshie,
yeah.
You know, I got a place to stay, a car to drive, and money in the bank.
That's right.
Not my issue.
That's
my
right.
My issue is the
you can live.
Condition of my.
You can live from that standpoint. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm a minimalist too, Brother Oshie. I mean, a lot of people may not know that, but I don't need gold chains. I don't need a house with 13 rooms and 14 bathrooms. And if I had it, I probably would give it away. Because as I've realized, as I've gotten, I've turned into an elder, I've realized that the material things aren't what makes you who you are. What makes you, for me, what makes you who you are is if you're comfortable in your skin.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I can't control nobody but Irvin Lewis.
That's right.
But what I can do is I can affect other people's condition. In other words, if I can educate people to do for themselves, then I don't have to always do for you. And that's not my issue. My issue is not to carry you. We're to carry each other and then teach another. See, for me, the character of a man is not what you've done for yourself. What have you done for someone else today other than you? Today,
yeah.
Have you spread the good news? Have you told them about who they are and try your best to teach them to research and have knowledge of self?
Mm-hmm.
Because Baba Oshie, what's wrong? What's going on right now is there's a hidden history. And why is it called hidden? Because it's right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Whoever drives this car tells you what street to go down. So if you're letting someone else steer you around, then you're going to go wherever they take you. What we want to do is have people who are thirsting for knowledge of history, knowledge of how did we get here? And ask the question, Baba Oshie, where did this start? Who started this? Why do we do it like this? Why can't I push back on the Bible? Are there more than one Bible? What's in the Torah? What's in the Quran? These are books that people have read from cover to cover. I've never opened it. You know what I'm saying? So I think the thirst for knowledge is something that'll move our people forward and lift our people up.
Yeah.
Because I think, Baba Oshie, if you start to learn this knowledge, you're going to start to learn that Jesus was black. Okay, I don't need Putin to tell me that. I already knew Jesus was black. And if Jesus even existed.
Right, exactly.
Come on now.
Exactly.
Come on now. If we're going to talk,
yeah.
You gave me the book.
Yeah.
But why did you change it? Why did you change it to fit you? Why did you change it to support your narrative? So, you know, it's a lot in history, Baba Oshie. I think history eventually is going to set us free, because like Baba Henry Clark said, history is like a clock. It tells you where you are, where you come from and where you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm just paraphrasing. It does. Yeah. It really does. Because if you never know the start line, you never know if
That's
you
right.
won the race.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. No. All right, brother.
Thank you. Bye, I'm telling you, you're a godsend, man. This Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is something to look forward to.
I appreciate
you, I'm trying
you,
to
man.
Tell you about it.
I really
Yeah,
do.
You're a godsend.
All right, dear
you
brother.
Are.
Let me catch some more calls.
I'm holding on.
All right, bro.
Yeah, do that.
Good afternoon.
Yes,
brother Marcus. Brother Marcus, how have you been? How have you
I'm
been?
Here.
It is so good to hear your voice. We were talking about you the other day, brother Marcus.
I'm here.
Yes.
I got my ear to the ground, brother. I'm here. I'm greeting to brother Irv and the rest of the callers on the line, you know.
Right on. Thank you, man. Thank you for always being there.
The other day I was talking to somebody and they said to me, well, I was overhearing a conversation, they were talking, and they said, yes, you know, she said, a white preacher held her hand, a black lady. She said, yes, a white preacher held my hand and told me that when Jesus come back, he's going to be black. So she said, oh, you know, and I started to cry, blah, 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 blah. So I said to her, I said, hold on. I said, if Jesus is the Son of God, right, and God is omnipresent, right, because the word omnipresent means that
Everywhere.
You are always here.
Right.
So I said, so where is Jesus coming back from? Is he coming back from the omnipresent? She stumped out. She couldn't answer the question. I said, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? These people put this theology out here. It just confuse people.
Yeah.
And these three major religions, just Western religion, they talk about there, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, which all of them came really from Judaism. Judaism is the first one. And Islam and Christianity sprung from them. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't even know that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But these people have been confusing people with this foolishness for so long. You know, anytime I need to get a good laugh, I read the Bible. Especially
right.
that story, Genesis, that
yeah.
Genesis story right there.
Yeah.
That's one of the most perverted story. If you really read that story, I really understand it. That's got incest in there, got murder, I got all kind of,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying, foolishness. And I'm going to get a copy of that brother's book, Jews Are the Problem. He
yeah.
hit the nail on the head because them people are the problem.
Yeah.
You know that it's the Jew that control the international banking system, you know.
Yeah.
There is no software, no banking software out there that the Jew don't control.
Yep.
They control all the banking software.
Yes.
Yeah. But they're the one who came up with money. They invented
mm-hmm.
money.
Mm-hmm.
Jewelry. Even what? Jewelry. Jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So these people have been creating chaos and anarchy, and now they're going to get America involved into this conflict, know what's going on with there. Because when they went over there and bombed that place, that Syrian embassy, that Iranian embassy in Syria, and kill them generals, the Iranian vow say, yo, we're going to respond. And you hear what Israel say, yeah, if you respond, then we're going to hit your nuclear plants.
Mm.
You see? These people are
creating
havoc. They're creating chaos on the planet, you know? So I have to get that brother book. As soon
yes.
as I get some money, I'm going to purchase it because he hit the nail on the head. And reference to my brother, Tony Martin. I know that he had died
yes.
in Trinidad, but what did he die from? Was it cancer or anything?
No, let me research it because I honestly believe they killed him. You know, I believe
yes,
that they killed him.
Yes, he was young when he died.
Yeah.
He was 70.
Yeah.
was a young man. I know he was in Trinidad. I know he was writing a book in Trinidad, you know. But I love that brother, man.
Yeah, Tony Martin's sharp, man. I listened to him the other day. I never forget when I met him and heard him speak at ASCAT conference. I think the one I went to in Detroit so many years ago. But, you know, been to so many conferences and conventions and presentations, you know. But I do. There's some you never forget, and he was one that I would never forget.
That good brother, man. I tell you, I got his book. I got a couple of his books, but I got that book, The Jewish Onslaught.
The Jewish Onslaught.
That's
yep.
a very good book.
It is.
Very detailed. You know, somebody stole that damn book. I can't find that book.
you be like me. Sometimes you lend a book out, next thing you know, you'll never get it back.
Disappear, brother. It book just vanished. Yeah. I don't know what happened to my book. Anyway, brother Oshie, I'm here. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, brother Marcus. Always, dear, my dear friend. Peace to you.
All right.
I know you'll be listening Friday.
Definitely. Oh, definitely, brother. Definitely.
Okay. All right, brother Marcus. Mama Nabantu, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. Yes, I'm listening in. I'm doing people's taxes.
Okay. Well, you busy?
Yeah, we have a new date for the town hall meeting in Haiti for April 27th.
Okay.
With the general local members at 6:30 this Saturday.
Okay, well, we'll have a chance to talk about that in depth, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right, peace. The Pan-African Federalist Movement. Town hall meeting, and people need to be aware of that. So we still got some folks in the queue if you want to hit star twice and join the conversation. You know, we're talking about re-Africanization. You know, re means to do it again, you know. And so we need to Africanize ourselves, fortify ourselves with the idea of being African. We need to do that. It is the only way that we're going to get ourselves up out of this madness. And believe me, it is madness. But unfortunately, we don't, many of us don't. And let me say this. For those who have succumbed to be totally infected with the Urugu virus, I leave them alone. There ain't a damn thing we can do. But for those brothers and sisters who still want to know, for those brothers and sisters who still want to be, that's who we deal with. That's who we connect with. That's who we encourage. That's who we talk to. Brother Irv.
Baba Oshie, you're absolutely correct. It's like when the doctor comes in the room and says there's nothing else we can do for him, man.
Right.
And you go, okay. And that's when you are infected with the Urugu virus and it's terminal. There's nothing. You're going to die with what you're saying right now. When you're following a Trump around, or you're supporting a Jewish state, or you're you bought into this whole integrationist mindset that we are going to love these white folks until they love us back.
Right.
If it kills us, I will sacrifice my children. Before I re-Africanize, before I go back to a culture that I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why my hair is coarse. I'm going to make it straight like theirs. I don't know why they call me Bobby Fetterman. That's not your name. That's not you. What are you doing? But Baba Oshie, you're right with that. But I just have to say this. It was so good to hear Brother Marcus on the radio just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we haven't heard him in a while. Yeah.
Right, right. And you know, and the things creep into your head. Oh man, I hope that brother's still on this earth, because being on the earth at the same time as a brother like Marcus, brother Marcus,
yeah,
is a beautiful thing to know, yeah, that he's here while I'm here.
Right on.
Because when he speaks, right on, you can hear. He's not an older, he's an elder.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And I can hear in his
voice. Oh, a lot of wisdom.
Oh, my mm-hmm. God.
A lot
I can
of wisdom,
hear it.
Yeah.
And he is an amazing person. And we have many amazing people who call this show, but he's one that I really enjoy hearing.
Yeah.
I really enjoy listening to him because I can tell that he's a worldly brother.
Yeah.
In other words, he's seen a thing. He knows a thing or two, but he's seen a thing or two,
mm-hmm,
you know, and he doesn't speak much. He just says what he has to say, and he moves on. And that's the sign of wisdom. I don't have to keep reiterating what I'm saying. I'm not a walk and talk show. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he's beautiful, man. And thank you. Let somebody else get in, Bible. I know you got a couple
brother.
Other people
all right,
in
my
the
friend.
Queue. Do that for sure.
Well, I'm really, everybody else has talked already, you know. I know Baba Butch is out there. If you want to say a little something, hit star twice. Baba Butch, are you there? Yeah. Family, I tell you. Yeah. I tell you, family, it's what we do, you know, and I know living here for us, I try to think about the brothers and sisters at the time of Martin R. Delaney when he was talking about to return. I try to think about Paul Coffey and getting a boat to take some of our people back, you know. So, I mean, there were some Pan-Africanists. In fact, they call really Martin R. Delaney the father of Pan-Africanism, you know. And there were some brothers and sisters who, you know, who really wanted to return. But, of course, Africa at the time being colonized deeply all the way at that time of the mid-1800s into the mid-1900s. Africans gaining freedom from the colonizers, from their colonial captors. You know, I'm going to do a program on words. I got to, because I heard somebody still calling the European colonial masters. We have to end this particular verbiage once and damn it for all. And I know it's going to be hard because just like the word slave here in this country and even globally, because globally, you go to any other continent or any other country and when you talk about or hear the word slave, they put our face on it as if we're synonymous with slavery and the image of being enslaved. Well, understand too, family, you got these European Jews who were the movie makers and they put that image out there. The European Jews have been no friends of ours, although they've said that, you know, they tried to portray that. But they truly have been no friends of ours. What they have been is devious, undermining, conniving, you know, two-faced. But no, they haven't been any friends of ours. I've often said that the relationship between us and them is that, you know, they're the landlord. We're the tenant, you know. They're the salesperson, you know, we're the buyer. You know, that's been pretty constant, pretty consistent. My good brother Paul, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon, and, you know, glad to talk to you, Bubba.
Always.
Absolutely interested to listen to all the interjections, you know, give so much food for thought. You know, Bubba Olchi, the great brother and honorable brother historian Tony Martin mentioned, yes. I think by Brother Marcus.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm aware of him. I've never met him. He's been to UK a good few times.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he's well established. He's an absolute authority on Marcus Garvey, and he's written it and documented it, and that's a fabulous piece of work there.
Yes.
And it's interesting how he was hounded and attacked by the Zionist lobbies.
Yeah.
That's an interesting subject, and I've touched upon it. I read it, bits and pieces of it. But, you know, funny enough, strange enough, I never looked into his cause of death, whether it was a natural cause or what. And it's just what evoked me to do that right at this moment on my phone was that that talk of it. And I just said to myself, I never really even thought about that. Mm-hmm. So what I found out as I did a research is that, correctly, he was in Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
He was in a and he had one surviving relative in Trinidad and Tobago, his cousin, and she was asked, you know, what did he die of, and she said that she didn't want to disclose his cause of death. She also said that she didn't expect him to die. He actually booked himself into the hospital. He was, I guess, feeling unwell. Mm-hmm. But there was no long-term illness of such. And she expected to, you know, go to the hospital and speak with him. And during the time period, he suddenly died, which is a bit strange when you hear these things.
Right.
You know, that's what I just got that off the internet. And it's amazing because I've never really thought about it. But, you know, Bubba Olchi, you know, what's more serious than that is this, yeah, it's a pattern which I found. I've often questioned myself is how these people were able to come to Africa and capture us like that for such a long period. I question it, you know what I mean? I know it's a very sensitive subject.
Well, you know, I think that because Africans never thought of themselves as one people as they should and could, they always talking about these, quote, different tribes or different types of people. And so they were fragmented. And so you could come in with your devious mindset and pit one against the other and then manipulate the situation and take them both or take their land or take their resources and so forth, you know. And I think for us, it happened for us too late. And then next thing we know that we're being carted off. We're being marched to the shores into dungeons, not castles. They're not, damn it, castles. I definitely need to do a program on words because I still hear people talking about the Elmina Castle or Cape Coast Castle. The fact is, they're dungeons. They were dungeons. And see, the correct terminology gives you the right, and the correct verbiage gives you the right image, you know? So, but anyway,
you know, you're right there. You're absolutely right because I've never been to Elmina Castle, but you're right what you say. You know, mm-hmm. English is a language of spells, man, and you know, it's a talisman language. And the reality of it is, you know, it's not our language. It was imposed on us, and we actually accepted it as our language, and we do not recognize that we are, by speaking it, casting spells on ourselves.
Right.
We don't, and that may sound crazy to most, but if somebody imposes, if you imagine, right, I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to mix it up a little bit. You imagine you went to the zoo and the lion was barking like a dog, okay? You would be absolutely thinking that lion is something seriously wrong with it. You mm-hmm, understand? Mm-hmm. If you heard that lion bark like a dog, you'd be probably stuck to the floor thinking that lion is out of its mind. What's right. happened to it? Yeah. And right. that's us.
That's us.
But we don't even recognize that we're barking, and we shouldn't be barking. We don't right. recognize it. And
roaring.
That's the maddest part of it.
Yeah.
We have absolutely accepted this weapon of war on us to the point where we talk, what I was going to say is when I look at the pattern, you know, many people might not accept this, but like I say, I am doing a meticulous study of the work of Chancellor Williams. I'm going okay. page by page because for me personally, right?
Okay.
He's the one for me who he's written a book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, for me, when we go through that book, every page I turn, I have to go back and read over it again. Every page. Because to me, he explains it. And not only that, he talks about, which I'm about, responsibility. He talks about the part we played in our own destruction.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about
yes.
that. And often when I hear people speak, whether you be conscious, whether you be some authority, whether you be some expert or whatever, they negate to include the responsibility. And to me, that's nonsensical. If I'm a boxer, I boxed in the ring, yeah? If I lose the fight, I want to know how I lost the fight. Was I unfit? Wasn't I strong enough? Didn't I match his skills? Was he too strong for me? If I don't know that, then how am I going to win the next fight? How is that possible? And to me, we ain't even... it's so mad. We ain't even done that analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ain't going to... You know, Baba Ochi, in all due respect, we're not going to win like this at all. We're not... I don't even think... You know what, Baba Ochi? I have to be honest, yeah? I hear the talk, but I don't think majority of us want to win anything. We just want to go along to get along. A lot of us, Baba Ochi, in all due respect, are just acting, and we're just pretending. We're just pretending we have this idea that we're going to make changes, right? But it ain't going to happen because, you know, we're not even analyzing how we must take at least 50% of the responsibility of what happened to us. It's not just a matter, you know, Chancellor Williams, he don't just talk about, he just don't say, it was because we were fragmented. Yeah, we were fragmented. But he also explains the terrain we were in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, the size of Africa. He talks about the invasion and how we accepted some of the invasion when some of those people who accepted the invasion, right, were told not to do it. They were told by the people, do not go down that road. Do not invite these people in. Do not let these people take your women and integrate with your women. They were told that. Now you imagine that's in antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you're talking about antiquity. And look today.
Yeah.
What lessons have we learned from that? We're doing the
same thing.
Today, now to me, yes. Baba Ochi, I don't care what anyone wants to think. I don't care what anyone wants to say when I say this. There's something wrong there, man. There's something wrong. Now, we can say, we don't read or we've been brainwashed and all that. But the point is, we're not children. We're not their children. And they are not our kids. Okay? They're just men and women like us. So how are we in this position? And I don't talk about that. Listen, Baba Ochi, me, I don't ask beg no friend, and I'm not asking no one to cover my back. I'm just going to say this because this is the conclusion I've come to. We are in severe denial, a serious psychological denial. And that denial is not going to take up the position we're in at all. We're not going to move. 100 years from now, they're going to be in a worse position than we are now. Because I don't think we recognize the responsibility we have played in our own demise. I don't think we recognize that at all.
Yeah.
You don't even want to hear that. You know, sometimes we behave like, sorry to say it like this, like a woman who's been abused and she's still defending her abuser. Mm-hmm. It's mental. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's a great man and I love him. But look at your eyes and look at your nose, how he broke up your nose and knocked out your teeth. Oh, but I love him. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, okay. She's still cooking his meals. My God. That's the madness of the situation we are in.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And you know, well, I look at, you know, we talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma, even all these situations we hear. And I say, well, where was the defense? Where was the retaliation? You know, look. I'm just going to say it out there. I want them to hear what I'm saying. You know, sometimes we over here in England, right? You can say what you want about Europeans or whatever, but let me tell you this as fact. I read a lot about the IRA. I read a lot about them, how they operated. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you how their cousins operated. They decided they had enough, right? Mm-hmm. Them in the island, and they start killing them. Mm. They plant a bomb in a place with innocent people, whoever in there, and they'll blow them smithereens.
Yes.
Yeah? Now, I read that the M5, I read this in one of their books. They said they're the most ruthless, this is the IRA saying, they're the most ruthless secret service, apparently. Yeah? Because mm-hmm. they had undercover assassins and they would track them down and just kill them if they could. But yet, so they were dealing with their cousins, the ruthless, you know, come after them, kick off their door, them, not take them to court or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading this book, this IRA man was talking, yeah? And I'm thinking, okay, yeah. But yet, you remember, the IRA still attempted to kill Mountbatten. You know Mountbatten?
Yeah, Lord Mountbatten, yeah. The Queen's cousin. Right, Lord Mountbatten,
yeah. Bomb under his...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about that. I said, you see that they were faced with a higher power. I mean, the British got organized. Ireland ain't got no army, you know. They ain't got no regular army. But yet the British have got regular army. They make guns and all the weapons.
Right.
But yet they still defeat them. They still, and let me in mind, the reason why they defeat them, because no fear, none. They said, if I'm going to die, you know, Margaret Thatcher come on the TV one day. She said, they support, but we don't want to hear their voice. You know, they had the IRA on the TV, but when they talk, you couldn't hear their voice. And I remember watching that and thinking, that is this. So what she's saying is that we allow them to speak, but you can't hear their voice. I figured, well, then to me, that sounds like you've been defeated. I had a conversation with an elder. He's telling me violence don't win nothing. That's what he told me. Violence don't win nothing. The next thing, Martin McGuinness, his is his name. Martin McGuinness was the top IRA bomber. The top. He bombed buildings, killed people, yeah? The next thing, I see him in the parliament. He became an MP when they made their peace treaty. He became one of the top politicians for them. That's the man who was bombing them, killing them.
Is that right?
So I'm saying to myself, Martin McGuinness is his name. He's dead now, right? Look, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And I'm thinking, you know, one elder told me a joke. He said there was this, I can't remember man's name. He said there was this black man, really conscious in the 60s and 70s, yeah? He was telling me this story. He said he got so fed up with the talk that he went and joined the IRA. I don't know who the man is. He said he went and joined. He said, I'm tired of this talk, nonsense. He went and joined the IRA. That's the... And I thought about that. I said, wow. Look at us now today. Chat. We ain't going to get out of this position because these people are ruthless. Yeah. And sometimes you have to meet fire with fire. And if you're not about that, then you're just chatting.
That's
and
right.
That's where we're at.
That's right. And you're right.
Like that, but that's
it. And you're right, brother. Right on, Paul. All right, bro. Sister, how you doing, dear? How you doing, Sister Abia?
Oh, Grand Rye, you
too,
doing
dear.
Well.
Good.
Bibi
Fahodie. Yeah,
interested listening to the program today.
Yeah, a lot of contribute, a lot of good people, a lot of good people called today.
Yeah.
And you, yeah, and you too.
I believe in the victory of our cause. Mm-hmm. I believe, yes. You know, in the struggle. I believe we're going to win. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the scenario, it's a protracted struggle. It's a protracted struggle. So they may have won one part, but there's other parts to the struggle. I mean, we've been fighting. I mean, and I would suggest we do some research if we're saying that all the Africans in Africa was just all just going away. Because we had there were some great kings, okay? I mean, we had Shaka Zulu. We had Queen Nefertari. We had, it was Nzinga. She was doing some wars. I mean, I think that would be a good research project to just, and there's a great book about that that's talking about all the kings and all the wars that we won. So I'll try to do some research and try to, I'm not sure if you're aware of that study, but there have been many greats. We had Amenhotep. I mean, we've been battling and we was winning a lot of the wars. I mean, so I'll try to bring that, because I'll try to bring some more statistics and information in that book and that study. So we just got to keep that in mind, too. And I think one of the things that Yorugu likes to do is have us feel that we can't defeat them, that we are defeated. And we can't, have that projected upon us where we, you know, that's part of their attack method. And we have to know that we are strong people. And that we can be conquered. And then the other aspect is, yes, you're right. We do have some part in some of the losses in the wars.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That does not get Yorugu off the hook.
That's right. I
he
agree with you.
He is the main perpetrator.
He is the main perpetrator
of all those atrocities.
Yeah, I
agree
with
you. So we got to keep that in mind and not project on ourselves. It's all our fault. And all that.
There's some complicity.
And they'd like us to do that.
Right, right. But there is some complicity. But the bottom line is, they are the ones.
They're the true enemy. It ain't my brothers and my sisters that were caught up in this and was brutalized and all the atrocities that were inflicted, all the demonic acts that was perpetrated on us.
Right.
And so I'm loving my brothers and sisters. My ancestors were strong. It was many of our ancestors that was fighting for us as our, their children. I mean, numerous battles.
That's right.
And don't forget, don't be telling me the African people is we just weak and we just lose the fight. I mean, we won some fights. Look at Haiti. Look at Jim Harvesty and all of us.
Yeah.
So we got to keep that in mind. And I agree with what Paul said. Study. Let's study their successes. Mm-hmm. Let's not negate that they had success. Let's study their successes, how they won. Using spirituality. We can be using that. I mean, the Haitians was using their spirituality and their beauty and their strength. So let's study that.
I agree.
I would agree with that. Let's study that and employ those tools, and we will win. And we got to have faith and belief in the victory. I have belief in
my sister. Bibi Fahodie, thank you.
Bibi Fahodie.
All right. Yeah, thank you, callers, all of y'all. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all listening. Hope you tune in this Friday. My guest will be Brother Ayo Kamathi. The Irritated Genie, his new book, Jews Are the Problem. We'll talk about what we're witnessing in real time and the fact that things that can be shown to you in real time. You're seeing genocide being enacted on the Palestinian people. And complicit is the United States, Europe, European Jews. So we'll talk about that and some other things. Hope you'll join us. Bring your questions, comments, or concerns. We won't have any announcements. We'll go right into, after the Inyasa Sim, go right into the discussion. Because, you know, I know Brother Ayo Kamathi's time, and he's dynamic individual. Love this brother. And hopefully he will continue to be protected, because what he has put out and what he is saying, you know, these people ain't nothing nice. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahardier. Bibi Vahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Hope to see you on Friday. Take care, family.